Hello, and welcome to the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus video interviews on dry AMD and geographic atrophy. My name is Peter Kaiser, and today I'll review key considerations for early diagnosis of dry AMD and how to assess risks for disease progression to geographic atrophy, as well as emerging treatment options. With new and emerging treatments available, how frequently would you recommend seeing your dry macular degeneration patients? Well, at the outset, I told you that I really break down my dry macular degeneration patients into three different groups: early, intermediate, and late. The late patients, now that we have a treatment, we plan to treat those patients. In terms of the intermediate, again, now that we have a treatment, we really want to watch for progression to the late form in GA. So seeing those patients at 6-month intervals, or even more frequently if they have other biomarkers or other risk factors for progression. Now, if a patient has early dry macular degeneration, once a year is certainly very reasonable to follow the patient. So again, you really want to break down your dry AMD patients into stages.
Well, probably this is one of the most important questions. We really need to change our mind. Previously, when we had no treatment options, probably seeing these patients once a year was enough. It's true that we have very busy clinics, and we also need to consider that. But we also know that imaging is very important. We've been talking about biomarkers, so probably one option could be just having those imaging every 6 months, even if we are seeing the patient only once a year. But at least we have a proof of the changes of the patients, and now to decide if this patient have any special or specific risk of progression.
I would definitely recommend to see these patients either every 3 or 6 months. It depends on the stage of the disease. So if the patients already have GA, and especially in both eyes, and would need a treatment, then definitely I would like to monitor them more frequently in order to understand the progression of the disease.
How do you plan to incorporate GA therapies into your current practice workflow? Well, we're fortunate in the United States to now have two different treatments for geographic atrophy. Both those treatments were very easy to incorporate into clinical practice because this is a huge unmet need for our patients. They recognize that allowing GA to progress is going to eventually lead to loss of visual function. But I want to really highlight the fact that it's important to get an agreement with the patient that they're going to continue the treatment. Because unfortunately, in the best of cases, we don't expect their visual acuity to improve with treatment. What we're trying to do is prevent the GA from progressing, and that understanding is very important that the patient understands.
The availability of GA therapies will definitely change our current practice. We will need to think very carefully how to incorporate it in this already busy workflow, but I think that the every 2-month treatment of these patients will be something more feasible with the clinical reality.
I think it's also very important to classify or to identify the really specific profile of patients that would benefit from the treatments, because it also means there is important compliance and those patients that are in the higher risk of developing or progressing in geographic atrophy that would have meaning in the visual function.
100% of the expert panel agreed that a lack of encroachment of atrophic lesions on the fovea should be the top parameter to find successful GA management. The 2022 Your Retina Clinical Trends Survey revealed no clear consensus among delegates regarding this metric. How should we address this uncertainty on successful treatment parameters among retina specialists, especially with GA treatments now becoming available? Well, I think all of us have very high hopes for the treatment of geographic atrophy. And we have two different treatments now that prevent the progression or reduce the progression of geographic atrophy. Now, in terms of visual function, as I mentioned before, we didn't see a correlation between the prevention of GA progression and visual function. So in the past, we would have defined successful treatment maybe based on visual acuity. We now realize that a successful treatment be one that prevents functional loss of visual acuity. And by that, you would have when the geographic atrophy entered the fovea. So I think that's why there was a difference between 2022 and our current expert panel.
Well, I think once more we need to change a little bit our habits and our concepts, because we are in front of a treatment that instead of improving the lesions is stopping or reducing the speed of progression. So everything with, or in my opinion, needs to be reconsidered. So probably in these cases, just to reduce the progression of this dramatic disease, it's more important than we had in the past. So in my opinion, together with all the multimodal imaging, to demonstrate that there is no changes in this imaging, that at the end we have a translation in the visual function of the patient, is very important. But we all need to learn together how to evaluate this imaging and how to analyze these changes that probably will be very mild at the beginning.
I think it would be really very important to talk to our patients and explain them what are the results of this treatment and what they can expect from this treatment. That the slowing the progression of the disease and the encroachment of the fovea is really crucial for their visual acuity. So I think that that will encourage the patients to stick to the treatment and to perform these frequent injections.
I hope that the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus video interviews will improve your ability to effectively diagnose and manage dry macular degeneration patients and those patients with geographic atrophy in your practice. Thank you, and until next time.